As you turn there, I will lead us in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us here this morning. We thank you for a time where we can come together and worship you, and that we have freedom to do so. We thank you that you are a God who invites us to and hears and answers our prayers. And I pray that through the prayers that have already been offered this morning, each one of us here would be blessed. And we pray now that you would bless the time that we spend in your word. That your Holy Spirit, that he would go out and apply your word to our minds and to our hearts. That us Christians who have already trusted in Jesus, that we would be built up and edified and encouraged and conformed more and more into the likeness of our precious Savior. And also for those who are gathered here who haven't yet put their faith in Jesus, we pray that they would come to know him this morning. That they would see their sin, that they would see their need for a Savior, and that they would see Jesus as that one and only Savior. That they would trust in him and follow him all the days of their life. In all our time together, in all these things, we pray that you would be the one who receives glory. In the name of your Son, we pray. Amen. As you're able, please stand in the honor of reading and hearing God's word. We'll be reading verses 1 through 12, but focusing in on verses 10 through 12. Matthew records, "Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." May God bless the reading and hearing of his word. You may be seated. A chain is only as strong as its weakest link. You likely have heard this modern proverb, and most often it's used in the context of a team. A team is only as strong as its weakest member. But we might also apply it to us individually. We are only as strong as our weakest part. Or in context, we are only as strong as our weakest virtue. As we've gone through the Beatitudes, it talks about a person who is blessed. And then it describes a virtue that such a blessed person has. A habit, a way of life, a characteristic. And whenever one of these is missing or one of them is weak, such a person will not be as strong as they could be. Each one of these characteristics, as we've said before, to one degree or another, should manifest, should be displayed in the life of every true Christian. Because that is who Jesus is talking about. He is talking about the true Christian. The one who he describes elsewhere as a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. He is talking about one who is truly one of his disciples. And because they are his disciples in their life, they will begin to actually look like him. As we've read these Beatitudes, in one way or another, they could each be applied to the character of our Lord. And we have looked at the first seven of the Beatitudes. But this morning I want to look at the final one. But before we do, remember what the big idea of the whole of the Beatitudes is. And that is, Christian, you are a citizen of the kingdom of heaven and blessed. Christian, you are a citizen of the kingdom of heaven and blessed. Now on to this beatitude. So Christian, you are a citizen of the kingdom of heaven and blessed. Though you are persecuted, you will be prosperous in the kingdom of heaven. Though you are persecuted, you will be prosperous in God's kingdom. Sometimes, when we display all seven of the virtues that have been listed before this one in the Beatitudes, we will experience what Jesus calls persecution. If you remember last week, when we looked at the Beatitude right before this one, blessed are the peacemakers, I told you that there is no promise attached to that Beatitude that those who seek for peace, those who are peacemakers, will always be successful. There are times when you do all that you can do, when you go out of your way to make peace, and some will not have it. And this Beatitude, this final Beatitude that we see in verse 10 and elaborated on in verses 11 and 12, that proves that point. Because if it were true that every time we sought peace, we got it, this final Beatitude would not need to be said, would it? There would never be persecution. There would never be suffering for the sake of righteousness. But lo, there is. Those who seek to live a godly life, Paul says this, those who seek to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Now, to be persecuted is to be slandered, to be lied about, to be physically assaulted, to be harmed is a word that covers a range of actions. But this person is not just persecuted, but they're persecuted for a specific reason. What Jesus calls righteousness' sake. One thing that they are not persecuted for, or at least this is not describing such a person, is when they do wrong. He's not saying, blessed are those who do wrong and suffer for it. We should expect within measure, when we do things that are evil, that we will suffer the consequences. That's not what Jesus is referring to. He is not talking about those who suffer justly for doing what is unlawful, for doing what is wrong. Nor is he talking about those who are merely being persecuted for some sort of political agenda or position. He is talking about those who are being persecuted for righteousness' sake. And we can think of that in two different ways. On the one hand, the person who is suffering or being persecuted for righteousness' sake is one who is persecuted for saying or doing or standing up for what is right, what is in accord with God's holiness, what is revealed or disclosed in God's law. This is a person who stands up for the cause of justice. They do what's right. They think what's right. They say what's right. And when such a person is persecuted for that reason, Jesus calls them blessed. It's someone who's blessed for doing what God approves. On the other hand, it's someone who is persecuted for the cause of Christ. That is, for the sake of his kingdom, for the sake of his gospel, for the sake of his law. It's someone who stands up for Jesus and suffers for it. And as we survey church history, there are numerous examples of such people. All of the apostles suffered for the sake of Jesus. Every single one of them. All of them were martyred. Before they could die naturally, they were murdered for the sake of Jesus, except for one. And that one was exiled in his old age, where he died away from his home. All of them suffered for the sake of righteousness. But they were not alone. In the first few centuries of the Christian church, Christians were thrown into the Colosseums, where they were fed to lions, where they were burned on stakes. In Rome, under Nero's reign, Christians were used as the torches that lit up his parties because they followed Jesus. But sometimes it's not always death. In other cases, throughout the Roman Empire, in the early days of the Christian faith, Christians were slandered. They were lied about. They talked about their gatherings as if Christians were sacrificing and eating children at their gatherings. Those were lies that were spread throughout the kingdom. They are lies. They were suffering for the sake of Jesus. That's what Jesus is getting at here. And then Jesus transitions from speaking in the third person, blessed are those, to he directly speaks to his disciples who are standing there in verse 11. He says, blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you on my account. So again, that confirms that second way of being persecuted for righteousness' sake. So on the one hand, to be persecuted for righteousness' sake, to sum it all up, is to be persecuted for doing what's right. And on the other hand, it's to be persecuted for the sake of the cause of Jesus, the direct cause of Jesus, for spreading his gospel. That's what it means. To be persecuted for righteousness' sake, to suffer for what's right, and to suffer for the sake of Jesus. And Jesus tells us how we are to respond when people persecute us in verse 12. Look there. Look at these first two phrases. Rejoice and be glad. I'll read that again. Rejoice. And be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. When the Christian is persecuted for the sake of righteousness, rather than grumbling, rather than returning evil for evil, Jesus says they are to rejoice and be glad. There's something supernatural in that, isn't there? When someone persecutes me, my natural inclination is not to rejoice. Yours might be, but I know for sure mine isn't. The natural man, the man apart from Christ, one who has not been renewed in spirit, one who is not being conformed to the image of Christ, the natural inclination to persecution is to return fire with fire. To fight fire with fire. But the way of Jesus is different. Instead, we are to rejoice and be glad. And he gives two different reasons why. First, they are to rejoice because their reward is great in heaven. By this, he means that those who are being persecuted for the sake of Christ, those who are united to him, they have a reward that awaits them in eternity. It is an eternal and an infinite reward. And it's said to be in heaven. And when we go to the scriptures and we survey the scriptures and what it says about heaven, there is a lot of mystery. But there are some things that we know. For example, heaven's going to be really, really good. Think of the best day that you've ever had this side of glory, and heaven will be infinitely better. Think of the best gifts, the greatest joys that you have here. Those joys will be infinitely greater in heaven. And he says that all those who belong to him, those who suffer for his sake, all have a great reward in heaven. And in addition to that, the second reason that Jesus gives is they are to rejoice because they find themselves in good company. Namely, the company of the prophets. The prophets are those saints in the Old Testament who God spoke through authoritatively. And we have examples of several of them experiencing suffering for the cause of God. We can think of Daniel, for example, who, for standing for his faith, was thrown into a lion's den. By God's grace and in God's providence, he survived that encounter. But he suffered for the sake of righteousness. Or consider Jeremiah, the prophet that is sometimes referred to as the weeping prophet, because he underwent such torment of soul and body throughout his ministry. He was arrested on more than one occasion. He was thrown into a pit and stranded. He was beaten nearly to death. He suffered for righteousness' sake. And those who suffer for the sake of Christ find themselves in the company of such people. They find themselves in the company of the prophets. And one thing about the prophets is they all now, as I'm speaking to you, are enjoying that heavenly reward that Jesus promised. They are with Christ in heaven. They are experiencing the blessings, the eternal blessings that are promised to all who are united to Christ. The Apostle Peter, who experienced suffering for the sake of Christ, even dying by being crucified upside down, if history records it accurately, says the following words in 1 Peter 4, verses 12 through 14, and I think he's taking seriously what our Lord says when he says this: "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share in Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you." Suffering is not strange for the Christian. Suffering is not something that we should view as extraordinary. It is the forge that God uses to mold us more and more into the image of his Son. In fact, if we truly have called upon the name of Christ and we are truly living out our Christian faith, we should be surprised when we don't suffer, not the other way around. For look at our Lord. He was perfect in every way, wasn't he? He was gentle or meek, as the Beatitudes said. He was poor in spirit, not over his own sin, but he grieved the sins of those whom he loved because he was without sin. And we could go down the list. He hungered and thirsted for righteousness. He was pure in heart. He was the ultimate expression of a peacemaker. Didn't our Lord suffer? The only man who ever lived who didn't deserve suffering suffered greatly in the hands of sinners, or at the hands of sinners, and for the sake of sinners like you and me. And when we follow Jesus, what should we expect any different? Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, let him take up his cross daily. Let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. When we come to Christ, we should expect that we will suffer. Now, in light of everything that I have said thus far, I want to charge those of us who have called upon the name of Christ with several charges. To start, Christian, in gratitude, seek more and more to be like Jesus every day. Let the reason that other people persecute you be because you're like Jesus. You do not want to be the cause of your suffering. Let the cause of your suffering be because you are on the side of Christ. Know God's law and obey it. Know the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and share it. Be more and more like Jesus every day. And to do this, I encourage you, pray that God would grow you into the likeness of Christ every day. Meditate on God's word every day. Gather weekly with the saints to hear the word of God, to pray with the saints, to receive the ordinances. And Jesus will help you to become more and more like him. Also, rejoice when you suffer for the sake of Jesus. You can obviously see where I got this charge. Jesus literally said, rejoice and be glad. So when you suffer for the sake of Jesus, I want to encourage you. Do not be despaired. For your suffering is not without meaning, purpose, or end. Rejoice when you suffer for the sake of Jesus. Remember that when you suffer, you are in good company. You are numbered with the saints of God that stems back all the way to the beginning of time. You are in the book of the Lamb. You are of the redeemed. You are Jesus's people. And you will be where Jesus is for all eternity. That's the other reason. Rejoice, because there is a reward that awaits you. You experience some aspects of it right here and right now. You have experienced the forgiveness of sin right now. When you've trusted in Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is yours. You've been justified in God's sight. You have been adopted into God's family. You have been given God's Spirit. But there are some things. There are some things that Jesus has promised us that we do not experience until after we die, or ultimately when our Lord returns. There are things we have to wait for. For example, right now, we don't see Jesus face to face, do we? We hear from his word. We experience his fellowship each and every day. But we see through a veil of sorts. We see through a dim lens, a lens that is not clear. But one day we are promised that in glory we will see Jesus face to face. And because we will see him, we will be made perfect as he is perfect. Because the more we look at Jesus, the more we see Jesus, the more we look like him. That's what God's word teaches us. Additionally, we also experience suffering now, don't we? I already said that much. In fact, we shouldn't be surprised when we experience suffering. We even can experience death. That final nail in the coffin of the curse that sin has brought into the world, we die. We have loved ones who die. We have people we care about each and every day dying. But there will come a day where death will be no more. When we are in heaven, we will not die ever again. When Christ returns and his kingdom is fully established on the new earth, and we are there with him, saints, we will live forever. And we will not only live forever, we will live forever without sin or any of its curses. There will be no persecution in glory. There will be no suffering. In fact, every tear that has ever been shed will be wiped away from our eyes. So when you suffer, rejoice. It is worth noting, in addition to what I've already said, that oftentimes the people who will persecute the godly are those who also claim to be Christian. That happens. We need to remember that those who most hostily responded to Jesus were the religious leaders of his day. There are those who call themselves Christian who will actually side not with Jesus, but with Satan. They will say to Jesus, as he records or says later in this sermon, they will say, "Lord, Lord, did we not do this and this and this in your name?" And Jesus will say to them, "I never knew you." Some of the most hostile people to the things of Christ are those that claim to have Christ, but in actuality hate him. And they will hate those who truly follow him. It's not always the case, but we need to know that there is such a thing as false converts. They exist. There are those who go out who were a part of us, but they weren't truly a part of us because they went out away from us. And oftentimes they will be some of the most hateful accusers of the brethren. And we should respond to them like we would respond to anybody who persecutes us. We should love them, and we should pray for them and for their true and their real salvation. We should pity them. For those of us who have called upon the name of Christ and are suffering, there's a number of things that we should ask ourselves. We should ask, am I suffering for the sake of Jesus? Am I suffering for doing what is right or saying what is right or thinking what is right? Am I responding to evil with good? Am I responding to those who persecute me by praying for them and loving them? Am I rejoicing when I suffer, or am I pouting? We should hope that we would answer all those questions correctly. And when we don't, because there will come times where we do not suffer as righteously as we should, we run to our Savior and we ask for his forgiveness and we ask for his help, and he promises to give us both. Not one of us in this room embodies all these Beatitudes perfectly, and we need to remember that. There's only one perfect man to have ever lived, and none of us are him. Jesus. And we Christians do not claim to be perfect. Indeed, we should claim to be far, far, far from it. But we are claiming that our Savior is perfect. And we are also claiming that we belong to him. And we are claiming that because we belong to him, we desire to and we strive to be more like him each and every day. And therefore, when we fall short, we should repent. Church, persecution comes in all different shapes and sizes, as I referred to earlier. Sometimes it's literal violence that happens. People are dying all over the place in our world for the sake of following Jesus. That happens. But sometimes it's much more subtle. Usually it will be slander. It will be mocking. It will be reviling. It will be comments on social media. It will be gossip in the community. That's what it most often will look like in our day and age and in our own country, in our own community. People will hate us because we want to follow Jesus. When we do things that Jesus tells us to do, Jesus tells us to do things that the world believes is unpopular. Jesus tells us to confront those who are among us who are in unrepentant sin. The world doesn't like that. But we are called to do it by Jesus. If you don't believe me, go read Matthew 18, where he tells us directly on how we are to handle the unrepentant sinner in our midst. Go read 1 Corinthians chapter 5, which Paul, who is inspired by the Spirit, gives the very same instruction. Jesus tells us to do hard things. Jesus tells us to talk about sin. The world doesn't like to hear about its sin and shortcomings. The unbeliever does not like to hear that he needs to be holy as God is holy. The hypocritical Christian feels exactly the same way. But let us not care what others say about us. Let us care more about what our Lord says about us. For those of us who stand for righteousness, he says we're blessed. For those of us who suffer for the sake of righteousness, he calls us blessed. The unbeliever or hypocrite, whichever camp you find yourself in, you know who you are. You are not numbered among those who Jesus calls blessed, at least not right now. You do not suffer for the sake of righteousness. You are not pure in heart. We could go down the list of Beatitudes and you fall woefully short of each and every one of them. And if you continue down the path that you are going down, you will face judgment. For death comes to every man, and after death comes judgment. But you don't have to keep walking down the path that you are going down. You do not have to keep being an enemy of God or his people. You do not have to stay in the domain of darkness and walk as a blind person towards a death that you cannot avoid. The Lord Jesus offers salvation to each and every person, including you. If you trust in Christ, though you are an enemy of Christ, he will make you into one of his friends. Though you are in the family of Satan, he will take you out of the family of Satan, and you will become a member of the family of God. Though you are one who deserves death and judgment for all eternity, you shall have eternal life and the forgiveness of sins. If you have not followed Jesus, if you have not trusted in Jesus, trust in him today. And the person that Jesus talks about and all the promises that he gives in the Beatitudes, each and every one of them will belong to you. Church, it is true that a chain is only as strong as its weakest link. And that can be applied to us individually. Whatever virtue in our life is weakest, that is how strong we will ultimately be. That is what will be noticed. And as we've gone through these Beatitudes, I'm sure, I know I have, as I've looked at them, I've seen many deficiencies in myself. And that's appropriate. None of us are perfect. But our Savior is. And even if those things manifest even just a little, but they're there. You are blessed. You are a citizen of the kingdom of God and blessed. Sometimes you will be persecuted for the sake of righteousness, but Jesus says that you possess the kingdom of God. He says that when you suffer for righteousness' sake, when you suffer for the sake of his name, there is a reward for you that is great in heaven. And you are numbered among those such as the prophets. Therefore, church, do not lose heart. Keep seeking to be the people that God has called you to be, regardless of what the world thinks, regardless of what anyone thinks. Seek to be the person that Jesus has called you to be, and do it all as an act of faith, from faith. Because you can't do it on your own. You can't do it separated from Christ. Keep looking to Jesus. And Jesus will make you into the person that the Beatitudes describes. Let us remember what our Lord says. Let's just read the Beatitudes again to conclude. Beginning in verse 3, he says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." And then what we read this morning, or focused on this morning. "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." May God help us all to be such people. Let's pray.